I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so happy to be here today. My name is Sipiwe Sibiya. I'm the missions director at African Enterprise. And yes, I am an Anglican priest. But don't be worried. I am born again. Hallelujah. And yes, I am a Zulu. And yes, I was born in Zululand. I don't know, but can you allow me today to be myself? I just want to be myself, because, you know, God can only speak through me if I am myself. I don't want to be somebody else, and I don't want to be afraid. So please don't make me afraid. Just give me a smile so that I will not be afraid. But I want to be myself. And every time I get a chance like this, I say, Lord, this might be my last time to preach. Because I don't know tomorrow. I only know now. So every time when I preach, I try to preach as if I will die after the service. I mean, because I don't know what the future holds. We'll read from Luke chapter 5. I don't know if we can show it there. It's Luke chapter 5. It's also nice to have some music when you're preaching. I think that has been my struggle, especially, where is this? Western Cape. Is it Western Cape? Western Cape. You know, in other provinces, you have the worship team. They will worship and sit there. But then I think I saw this in East London, where the worship team, they just goes and you just feel alone in the front. You just feel lonely and alone at the front. It's Luke chapter 5. So I wouldn't mind the keyboard. Luke chapter 5. Are we there? I'm trying to see if. No, it's Luke chapter. That's Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 5. Yes. Now it came to pass while the multitude pressed upon him and heard the word of God that he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. I wanted to say this. Let's go back. I love it. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Can we say that? They were washing their nets. They were washing nets. You know, not with a washing machine, but they were washing nets. There is something there, believe me, there is something there. Jesus saw two boats standing by the lake, but there was no one. And he started to check, where are the people? And he saw them. They were busy washing nets. Why they were washing nets? Let's continue. And he entered into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude out of the boats. Let's continue. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the net. Are you following the story? Jesus saw two boats. No one in the boats. He started to check, where are the people? Where are you people? And they were there, but they were washing nets. And Jesus says, okay, can we push the boat outside the sea? And they did, and he started speaking. And, you know, washing of the nets was not easy. It was not an easy thing. And after he has taught, he says, okay, take the nets back to... I mean, we have washed the nets. We are ready to go home now. You're telling us to take them back. And Peter says, we will do it. Not because we want to, but because you said so. Not because we want to, we don't want to, but we will do it because you are saying so. Let's continue. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And their nets were breaking. Hallelujah. Can I sit down now? Can I sit down now? They even beckoned unto their partners in the other boat that they should come and help them. And they came and they filled both the boats, the two boats, so that they began to sink. Now can I sit? Please allow me to sit. Let us stop it there. My message today is forget about last night. I am here today. Forget about last night. Forget about what happened. I am here today. As we have seen, the Bible tells us about these two boats. And one belonged to Simon. And the Bible tells us that there was a crowd. There was a crowd which was coming with Jesus. And when you look at it, you see that for a moment Jesus ignored the crowd because of the two boats. You will not understand me now. Jesus ignored the crowds because of the two boats. You know, when Jesus sees pain, when there is pain, Jesus ignores the crowd. When there is pain, when Jesus sees pain, he ignores the crowd. That's why the Bible says there was a woman who was bleeding for years and years. And the woman started to touch Jesus' garments. And Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And the Bible says, one day Jesus was walking with the crowd. And Zacchaeus, because he was short, he started to climb the mountain. And Jesus took his eyes from the crowd to the pain. Because whenever there is pain, Jesus will attend. Jesus is an ambulance. He attends pain. And Jesus does not delay like an ambulance man. When he sees pain, he attends pain immediately. If you're feeling any pain, even today, even this morning, if you're feeling any pain, don't worry. Jesus is attending you right now. If you're feeling any pain, Jesus has took off his eyes from the crowd. Jesus is looking at you. And when Jesus looks at you, miracles happen. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Okay, thank you crowd, thank you very much crowd. But I have a 911. Thank you very much crowd, I have a 911. And the Bible said, Jesus went into the boat and started to teach. And by that time, these guys were washing their nets. Do you know what it means to wash the nets? It was a sign of giving up. It was a sign of surrender. They were saying, "We have tried it. And we didn't try it for 1 hour. We tried it all night, but it didn't work. So now we are going." It's amazing how Jesus is always on time. He always finds us in a point where we are ready to give up. Jesus is always on time. When we are ready to pack our bags and go, Jesus arrives. And when he arrives, something happens. So they were busy washing their nets. They were ready to go home. They were thinking about their kids. Remember, they were fishermen. That's what they did for a living. So kids were waiting for them at home with fishes. But today, they didn't have a fish. They were so sad. They had tears because they didn't have fish. And here comes this man. And he says, he starts to teach and he says, "Can we take down the nets?" He says, "Take them down. Do you understand? Take." And they said to Jesus, "Oh Jesus, we've been doing that for the whole night." And Jesus says, "Forget about last night. I was not there. You tried it last night, but I was not there. Now I'm here." Forget about last night. Now I'm here. I was born in Ulundi. In a very poor family. My father was a bricklayer. My mother was working for some principal as a domestic worker. My father was always away. He used to drink a lot. And whenever he came home, we knew he came to cause trouble. So I grew up in that environment. Kids were pushing me around. Kids were bullying me because I had no father to protect me. At home, we will stay for days without food. And I started to do naughty things. I started to steal, to be a thief, to do that when I was very young. The first time I was arrested by a policeman, I was doing grade 2. because we stole some 700 from the teacher. We stole it because we wanted to buy rice and chicken. Because for us, rice and chicken, you can only get it during Christmas. And if you're lucky. So as young as I was trying by all means to provide for myself. As young as I was trying by all means. The only thing I had, my family was were my friends. And you see, if you have friends as your family, then trouble after trouble after trouble. And I grew up in that environment. I had two sisters and one brother. And my brother suddenly lost his mind. He just lost it. He went missing. We tried to search for him. We didn't find him. And out of the blue, my mother got sick. She died. The following year, my father got sick. He died. My sisters went to stay with their boyfriends. I was left alone at home. Mama. Left alone at home. I'm telling you. I was stealing from this corner to another corner. People were telling me every day that I will never be anything. People were telling me that I'm an orphan. People were preparing me for death. They were telling me, your family died. You should also be prepared to die. All my life, the only thing I knew was that I was a mistake. And I started to do all these bad things. I started to smoke. I started to use drugs. And eventually the community was tired of me. They wanted to kill me. So I had to run away from home. So I ran away from home. I stayed with another taxi man who was very, very, very bad. He was driving a taxi. He owned a taxi. And he had friends who used to steal car parts for him. I'll go and collect them in the middle of the night and all of that. He used to make me his slave. I went through hell. Every day I was thinking about killing myself. I was asking people, which is the best way to kill yourself? Which is the best way to kill yourself? Because my life had no purpose. If in your life you don't have a purpose, you struggle to live. You have to have something which will wake you up in the morning. You have to have something which will wake you up in the morning. And I remember that guy used to beat his wife, the taxi man. But he killed himself later on. He shot himself and died. And when I was living with this man, a taxi guy, I heard that my sisters died. I couldn't go home. I was afraid because I had ran away from home. So they died and they were buried. I was not there. But I realized one thing. I was alone in this world from the day they died. I realized that I had no mother. I realized that I had no father. I realized that I had no sisters. I realized that I'm alone. And during that time, you know, for us, when we grew up, we were told that Jesus Christ is for white people. The only thing we knew was the ancestors. We were told that, no, don't worry about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I didn't go to church. I didn't understand anything about Jesus Christ. I didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. I only knew the ancestors. In fact,
our parents were telling us that we are poor today because of the white people, because of that white Jesus. Our parents were telling us about the unfair Jesus Christ who supports the white people. I was sharing with my friends yesterday. I said, we used to see an aeroplane flying over. You know, it takes out the smoke. I don't know if you have seen that. And our parents will tell us that is flu. And they will tell us it comes from the white people. And that aeroplane will go, and when it's far, you cannot see the smoke anymore. And they'll, so you see, they have switched it off because now they are passing a white area. So we'll be like, okay, that's why we have flu, white people with their aeroplane. Now they have switched it off. And it all made sense to us. Let me pause a bit here. You see, you should always ask yourself why you behave the way you behave. What is pushing you to behave like that? Because we are seated here, we are victims of what we were told when we were young. Many of us, we are victims of what we were told when we were young. Let me share a story and then I will continue. My father was a bricklayer, I told you. And one day they built this Holiday Inn. It was a big hotel. And it was the opening day for the hotel. And people, and you see, my father was asked to come and stand in front, and they had like a black and white TV, you know, those small ones, and a bottle of whiskey, the Smirnoff. So they said to him, Mr. Sibiya, choose. Do you want the TV or do you want the bottle of Smirnoff? And people were shouting. You know, the mamas, the ladies were shouting, take the TV, take the TV, take the TV. And his friends were shouting, oh, take the vodka, take the Smirnoff. Me and my sisters, we were standing. Remember, we didn't have a TV at home. That was our chance to have a TV. So we were like, please take the TV. Please take the TV. But eventually he took a bottle of vodka. We were so disappointed. In fact, I didn't want to see him because that was my chance to have a TV at home. But later on, I understood why he took a bottle of vodka instead of a TV. Because he was raised like that. When he was young, he was raised like that. He was told that you don't give kids what they want. He was raised like that. He was a child number 22. So the only way he knew was if you want to make a man, you have to be hard. We can only give what we have. My father was giving me what he had. I expected him to give me something different, but my father gave me what he knew. The only way to love a child was to be hard on a child. And that is what he was giving me. So later on I forgave him. I'm saying that because I want you to think. Think about your decision. What is pushing you? That is why when Jesus comes in our lives, He takes us out of our culture. I know you will not like this. When Jesus comes, he takes us out of our cultures. Then we hold on to him. That is why here in the house of the Lord, we don't entertain cultures. We entertain Jesus Christ as Lord. You know, but in our culture, we don't do this. In our culture, we don't sit like this. This is not your culture. This is the church of God. So when Jesus comes, he takes us away from our culture. He took me away from the belief of ancestors. Because now I believe in Jesus Christ. I can no longer sacrifice anything to other gods. Because I have Jesus Christ. So when my family died, the taxman shot himself, and I was invited into a church. I attended my first church when I was 16. And we went to this church. It was a men's conference. So they were talking about Jesus Christ. So I was busy looking for Jesus Christ. Because in my mind, I thought Jesus Christ is part of the pastors who were in front. So they were saying, Jesus Christ can give you life. Jesus Christ can do this. And I was like, where is Jesus Christ? I want to meet him. I have struggled in my life. If Jesus can give me that, I want to meet that Jesus. And they made an appeal. They said, whoever wants Jesus Christ, come forward. I went forward. So I was waiting to see Jesus. They prayed for me. And the Holy Spirit took over from there. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. My life changed. After that, I went back to visit home. I went to houses where I stole. I was asking for forgiveness. I was ready to die because I thought they would kill me. But they couldn't even remember what I did. They were saying, oh, you old now. How now you old? We thought you dead. Because when Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. So I had to forget about my last night. Because whatever I did in the past, Jesus was not there. Yes, I was fishing. Yes, I was fishing, but I was fishing alone. Jesus Christ was not there. So what Jesus is saying to Simon and his friends, he is saying the fishing will be different now. We are no longer hurting anybody. Because Jesus said to them, I will make you fishers of men. We are no longer hurting anybody now. But the fishing game is changing. I always say when I preach, I will always be a thief. Because once a thief, always a thief. But I used to use a knife. I used to use a weapon to steal something. Now I'm using the Bible to steal people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Being a thief, I will always be a thief. But now I use the word of God to steal them. The young people who are into drugs. The young people who are into crime. I say, Jesus is the answer. They come back. But I had to forget. I had to forget about my last night. You know, some people are forgiven. Do you know that? Some people are forgiven by Jesus Christ. They are part of the church. They are forgiven. Forgiven completely. But they don't want to forgive themselves. They are still holding on. We have many people who want to work for Jesus, but whenever they think about working for Jesus, the devil will remind them what happened last night. And they will become very cold and they will just sit in the church and go out. We are not called to sit. We are not called to sit. The church is not a movie. It's not a play. There is no person who is called to come and see the preacher and dance and go out. Come and see the preacher and go out. This is not a cinema, people. We are not in a cinema. But each one of us, we have gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we cannot use those gifts because we are entertaining the last night. That's why I'm saying today, forget about last night. Some of us are struggling with science. Really, they want to be children of God. They are in the church, but they are busy struggling with science. They need proof. They need proof. How can we prove it? How can we prove it? Church of God, we are not in a business of proving anything. Christianity does not make sense, and it will never make sense. It was meant to be like that. If you don't agree, then answer this. A man left heaven. We want to go to heaven. But a man left heaven, knowing very well that he will die. But he left heaven. He came and died. Buried. Third day he rose. Went back to heaven. Where is the sense then? You want sense? You want your faith to make sense? You're wasting your time. I'm telling you, a man came from heaven. We want to go to heaven. That's why we are here. We want to go to heaven, but the man did the opposite. He left heaven for us. He died. He came knowing, you know, when people tell you, don't go to Stellenbosch, some people want to kill you. Oh, you will stay at home. At home until. If people tell you that there are people who want to kill you, they are in Stellenbosch, you will never go to Stellenbosch. But yet this man, knowing very well that he will be killed, he went. There is no sense there. This man was killed, died, but yeah, it was freedom for us. We are what we are today because there was a man who came from heaven, and we don't need to prove that. We believe it because we can see his words through us. We believe it. We believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. That's why, that's the first thing you need as a Christian. You need to believe. You need to believe. You need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you. You need to believe that you are nothing without Jesus. You need to believe that Jesus is your source of life. If you don't believe, you cannot please God. You need to believe. Stop questioning. Start believing. I've run out of time. I like that. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Don't worry about time. But my journey, you know, do you understand it? My journey will never be understood by anyone. That's why I fight with Christians who are born again like me. When they say something which is not biblical, because of my journey. Because I know my journey. I know my journey. Don't let people who doesn't understand your journey disturb you. That's why I don't like it. I don't like it when we have people in the church who are, during the service, they are busy talking to each other. They're writing notes to each other. Can you give me a lift after the service? Can we go to town after the service? There is a baby shower after the service. They are talking about that during the service. Can we do this after the service? Can we meet after the service? Can we? Because they are disturbing people who really want God. Don't let anyone disturb you because they don't understand your struggles. They don't understand your journey. They don't understand what you go through every day. When you come in the house of the Lord, just connect with the Lord. Just say, Lord, I'm here now. Lord, I'm here now. The baby shower can wait. The party can wait. Everything can wait. The lift can wait. Even if it means you walk home, it's okay, you can walk home. But be here and position yourself and let God speak to you. And even when you see people crying, they cry because of their journey. If you don't cry, it's okay. It's because of it's your journey. And you don't have to be shy. When your tears comes down, it's because of your journey. You know, some people will be casual because they have casual problems. But you might have bigger problems. They will make you cry. Just cry into the Lord. In the church, we are not in a place where we mind ourselves. We mind the Holy Spirit. That is why I have a problem. As a priest in the church of God, I have a problem with people who want us to entertain their moods. They come to church. Today, I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm not in a mood. I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm just minding my own business. I'm not in a mood. I had a rough morning. I don't want to. We are not entertaining moods here. We are busy connecting with the Holy Spirit. We are so busy. We have problems. And we want Jesus to address those problems. You also have problems. Tell Jesus you're not in the mood. Don't tell us. Forget about last night. I am here today. And the Bible says, Simon said, "You, Jesus, you don't know what happened. Last night was cold. Last night was cold and we couldn't catch. Last night was bad." That's what I said to God when God called me to ministry. I said, Jesus, how can you use something like this? How can you use somebody who doesn't have a home? There are many people out there. How can you use somebody who doesn't have parents? Please, Jesus, go away. And Jesus said, forget about last night. I am here now. That is what was happening even with the disciples, with Simon and the friends. They were saying, we have tried the whole night. We have tried it. You know, the same thing you are saying is the same thing we were doing. We have tried. And someone says, but because you are Jesus. You know, there was a revelation there. Because you are Jesus. And they started to put nets. And Jesus told them, where are the fishes? He said, deep down. Deep down. Just do your best. Do your part. Your part is to put down the net. I will bring the fishes. I want to encourage you, Church of God. Wherever you work, put down the net. You know, we have many Christians in South Africa. The problem is that they are not witnessing. You know, when I visit some schools where there are my parishioners, when I start to say, hi, how are you? You didn't come to church. You'll hear other teachers saying, she comes to church. You attend church. There are many people who are hiding. Wherever they are working, they are hiding. Nobody knows that they are Christians. They are only Christians here in front of us. Put down the net. You might have reasons for that. You might have reasons. Maybe they don't treat you well. Maybe they don't like you. But your part is to put down the net. And Jesus will bring the fishes. Wherever you go, wherever you are, just put down the net. Put it down. And Jesus will bring the fishes. Forget about your yesterday. Forget about your past. You cannot undo your sins. Just believe your sins are forgiven. There is no use for you to stay and entertaining your past. There is no use. It will not hurt. It will not help you. It will only hurt you. Whatever you did, Jesus was not there. But now Jesus is here. Jesus is in the area. Jesus is in the area. Jesus is with you now. Jesus is in the area. I want to pray. Before I pray, I want to tell you a story. A story about my graduation. Sorry, I didn't know that when I say I want to pray, you'll close your eyes. I will tell you when to close your eyes. In 2010, I graduated for the degree in theology, the BTH. And we were about 29 to 30 who were graduating. And by that time, I was a believer. I was born again, really born again, fire, preaching the gospel. But there was something which was missing in my heart. I always thought I had it under control. So they called our names. We came in front. We take a bow. We do all that and sit down. Many of the guys who were graduating that day were graduating with certificates, diplomas. Were very few were graduating with the BTH. And my BTH was not just a BTH. I had distinctions. You can praise God for that. But here is my story. Inside the house, inside the hall, I was great. I was that guy, BTH, with distinction. And in fact, when they called my name, I felt like flying high. You know, inside I was that great guy. And after the ceremony, we went out. So everybody started to take pictures. So everybody was just getting their mother, getting their sisters, getting their what, getting their what. And I was standing alone in the middle of the hall with no parent, with no mother, with no father, with no sister, with a BTH. But because they had something I didn't have, even the BTH didn't make sense to me. This is what I did. Remember, inside the hall, I had something they didn't have. But outside the hall, they had something I don't have. But because I didn't have what they have outside, I started to destroy my blessing. And that day, I went down on my knees. I prayed to God. I said, God, I can never be an angry Christian. Heal me. I was a Christian. I was attending church. I was preaching. But there was something missing in my heart. I was still in the past. I was still struggling with my past. And from that day, God set me free. God can give you all the blessings in life. God can give you all the blessings in life. But if you don't have peace with your heart, you will never enjoy those blessings. God can give you big houses, big cars, big everything, big, but you will never appreciate it if you still have a doubt in your heart. And I'm here today to prophesy over your life. Forget about last night. Jesus is here. And if you say today, I need that prayer, I need that deliverance. If you say today, I'm struggling to let go of my past. I'm struggling, just surrender to Jesus. Wherever you are, we are praying now.
Wherever you are, just stand on your feet. I want to pray with you. If today you say, Jesus, help me. I don't want you to feel bad. It doesn't mean that you are a less Christian if you are a Christian. It doesn't mean that. But it means you are human. You need Jesus. If you are struggling in your heart, you know, if you're struggling in your heart, you will never even enjoy the blessings of life. Like me, God gave me a PTH with distinctions. But I didn't have peace, so I struggled. And if you don't have peace, you will not bring peace even to other brethren. But today, I want you to believe it. I want us to believe it. Let us connect with the Holy Spirit right now. Just open your heart and say, Lord, search me. Say, Lord, search me. Search me, Lord. Search me. If God did it to me, God can do it to you. Just open your heart. I don't know what you went through. I don't know your last night. But Jesus is here right now. Jesus is working on you. Just open your heart and say, Jesus, here I am today. Jesus knows your story. Jesus knows your story. He knows. He knows. He knows. All of you who are standing right now, you are too many. I want you to just raise your hand. Then I will pray where I am. Just stretch your hands up and just believe. I want you to believe. Because if you don't believe, you will go back to the same trap. I want you to believe. You know, God says to Israel, the Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. And that is what I want you to believe today. I want you to say in your heart, I will never cry again because of this problem. I choose to live because Jesus lives. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. If the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. If the Son of Man sets you free, then you are free indeed. Father, we proclaim in the name of Jesus that we are free. We are free from our past, Lord. We are free, Lord. We are free from the hurt. We are free from the hate. We are free from the pain. We are free from the grudges. We are free in the name of Jesus who sets us free. We are free indeed. Let your Holy Spirit flow in this place in the name of Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit set people free in this place in the name of Jesus. From this corner to that corner, set us free. Set us free, Lord. Set us free, Lord. Set us free in the name of Jesus. Set us free. Come on,
The Spirit of God is moving here. Just open your heart. You are free today. You are free. God is setting you free today. In the name of Jesus. God is setting you free. Renew us, Lord. Renew us, Lord. Renew us, Father. Renew us in the name of Jesus. Take away that pain, Lord. Take away that pain in the name of Jesus, Father. Take away that pain. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Maybe before we continue, I'll remain here. If there is anybody who wants prayer, and I will ask the intercessors to come and help. If there is anyone who wants prayer, you can remain after the service. We will pray with you. You can continue.
Those of you who would like to leave, please leave quietly. And those of you who would like ministry, please come forward. And if you just want to stay and worship, that's fine. Otherwise, enjoy the coffee at the back. And please just respect that there will be ministry at the front. Thank you very much.